Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Doing a Manny, Michelle Bauer, and Danny Santos fanfic. Now, if you have actually been subscribed to the thing, you've gotten some false hit saying we were going to have a program because this weekend has not gone anywhere near like I thought it would. But this is the actual story, so I'm glad I'm finally getting it done and I'm deleting the other ones. So, The Legend of the Water Glass, a Manny sequel, or prequel, a Manny prequel. When I learned the first scene where Manny talked to each other was known as the water glass scene, it flashed this quote into my head, and the story soon followed. I hope you enjoy it. And in case you are not in on the Manny fandom that much, the online fandom, which I did not know about when they were really on, had names for certain scenes. And this one they called the water glass scene. And this is Danny's first day working as a bartender in Millennium. And Michelle's there studying at one of the tables, and Danny gets two glasses of water and brings them over and gives one to Michelle and then starts talking to her. And in the course of talking to her, he sort of forgets that he's supposed to just be getting information out of each other, and they start talking about college classes, and then you can see that he suddenly remembers what he's supposed to be doing, and he draws back into himself. So that's the scene. Now, this is what made me think of it. Legend of the Water Glass, a Manny prequel by Robin Suffarm. Quote, it was only by accident that he had put his lips just where she had put hers. Nevertheless, it had a curious significance for her. They too had drunk from the same cup. She remembered idly that an old aunt of hers said that when two people did this, their afterlives would be linked in some fashion, whether for good or ill. L.A. Montgomery, Rainbow Valley. So this is Millennium, Danny thought as he walked up to the front door. It had been hard to get a parking spot. The crowd was spilling out the door and the music blared. It looked like the place was doing very well. It hadn't been open very long, and Danny had never been there yet. He liked predictability in a club, someplace not in the first waves of inness, a place where they knew him by name and said, Mr. Santos, in a respectful tone, took him to his regular table and brought his regular drink, the crisp, your usual Mr. Santos. Only the girl changed. Almost every night he went out. However, this time he was alone. His brother Mick was working at this club now. Mick had said this place had potential. Mick never used a word like that, and it had made Danny nervous. Mick had his own way of doing things. There had been the beginnings of quiet rumbles around town. Mick was escalating his drug pushing and use. It made Danny sick. He had no use for drugs at all, and once he finally took over, the Santos family would never be involved with drug deals again. But he couldn't get Mama to see things his way. There had also been a little instance of a shiner that Mick had attempted to hide, but failed, a couple of weeks before the club opened. If there was going to be trouble over whatever potential problems Mick was planning at the club, Danny preferred to head it off before it happened if he could. That's why he was here tonight. And for the very first time, Danny Santos stepped into Millennium. Michelle Bauer was on another date with Jesse at Millennium, if you could call it a date. Technically, Jesse was working, as he was almost every night. He still seemed a little uncomfortable in his skin in the role of manager that Drew had pushed on him. He had not yet learned to delegate and was doing way more of the work himself than he should be, Michelle knew. Drew was no help with this because her natural good business sense was being overridden by her constant scheming to get Jesse's time and attention. As much as Drew Jacobs wanted Millennium to succeed, and Michelle knew that Drew had invested a lot of herself in making it succeed, Drew wanted Jesse more. She She was quite willing to use whatever it took to get his attention, even if that meant encouraging his newbie obsession with micromanaging everything that went on in the club. For what seemed to be the 100th time that night, Drew had borrowed Jesse for a pressing business decision. Really, it wasn't even Drew's stunts that were the problem. It was Jesse's reactions to them. No matter what Drew did, Jesse seemed to make excuses for her. He stayed friends with her and even would get mad at Michelle for her reactions to these stunts. "It's only Drew," Jesse would say, as if that explained everything. What was up with that? She kept telling herself she was overreacting due to her insecurities, due to her father's infidelity to Maureen, Marcus's infidelity to Dahlia, Blake's infidelity to Ross, Holly's infidelity to, well, everyone. "Stop it, Michelle," she told herself sternly. Michelle was practically vibrating with irritation now. She had had enough. A new song came over the speakers, and Michelle didn't even hear or care what the new song was. She went over to Jesse. "Sorry, Drew, but I really need to steal Jesse back." Michelle flashed a killer smile. "I love the song, and you just have to dance to it." Michelle had won this battle. Jesse had obediently followed her out on the floor and taken her in his arms. But as she peered over Jesse's shoulder at Drew, Michelle was certain this wasn't the final battle. Danny heard the door of Millennium go close behind him, and he quickly scanned the room around him, just as he'd always been trained to do. Small tables cluttered the bar area all around him. They were full tonight. Well, Mick was right about how hot the club was, Danny thought. To his left, someone had done a rather amateurish take on Edward Hopper's Nighthawks as a mural on the wall. To his right was an L-shaped bar with some kind of stupid curtain blocking a doorway at one end through which most of the music was pouring. The second door was closed behind the bar area. Three possible exits. In his world, you always had to be very aware of that kind of thing. Danny detected no possible threats and no one who he knew in the young, mostly college age or just out of college crowd. So where was Mick? The door behind the bar opened, and Mick came through it, carrying a plastic industrial dishwasher tray of clean glasses. He set it on the bar and began to take the clean glasses away beneath the bar. This both pleased and worried Danny. He was glad that Mick actually seemed to be working, something he hadn't done in quite a while. But Danny knew that if Mick was well and truly on his game, he should have spotted Danny the second he came through the door. Mick, not being aware of his surroundings, could very well mean he was back to using his own product again, a very dangerous practice. As little as Danny tried to know about the drug side of the business, he knew a dealer who became his own customer usually ended up dead sooner rather than later. Danny frowned as Mick continued not to notice his presence across the room. Mick was shifting the glasses quickly and expertly. They'd all learned many of the skills of the restaurant business, working summers in their uncle's restaurant in California. Danny knew Mick could be a good bartender, but why he suddenly wanted to be one continued to be the worry. Danny pasted on a smile and slowly moved across the room towards Mick, wondering just how close he could get without Mick spotting him. The answer did nothing to put Danny's fears to rest. He actually had to speak to Mick before he drew his attention. "Hey, barkeep, what's it take to get a little service around here?" Danny asked in a silky, arrogant, slightly insulting tone. That did it. Mick's eyes shot up and met Danny's, relaxing into a smile when he recognized who was speaking to him. He took just a second too long to do so, and between that and his dilated pupils, Danny knew he was either using again, or at least more buzzed than he should be out in public. "Bro," Mick replied, "so you finally came to check out my little club, did you?" "Your club?" Danny asked. "I thought you just worked here." Mick waved away the thought. "It's a mere technicality. I've got a vision for the future of this club, and it's going to be fantastic. You'll see." "And the owner sees things the same way?" "She will. Don't worry, little Drew won't be able to resist the pulsating mixing machine." Mick wasn't liking the direction of the conversation was going, and he wasn't about to run his plans past his little brother. "For right now, I'm on the clock, so..." Mick drew himself up to attention and clicked his heels together, mocking the kind of service he knew Danny liked. "The usual, Mr. Santos." Danny rolled his eyes. Sure. Nick pulled a frosty glass out from under the counter freezer. He put some ice in it and then pulled a bottle of high-class bottled water and cracked it open. He poured half of it in the glass and then reached in the refrigerator unit and pulled out a lemon wedge and stuck it on the edge of the glass. He sat both the bottle and the glass before Danny. There you go, bro. Danny's voice dripped with so much sarcasm, it almost could have been Ben Warren's. Gee, Mick, however did you know? It definitely was not Danny's usual. Don't thank me. It's good for you and it's on the house. Bartender's treat. Mick grinned at Danny, pleased with himself. Maybe things weren't quite as bad with Mick as he feared. If Mick was capable of laughing and joking, and he seemed to be doing okay with the job, Danny avoided the lemon wedge on the side of the glass and took a long pull of the water. It actually tasted pretty good. Maybe he'd been hitting the hard stuff a little too often himself lately. He heard from his memory Father Tomas's voice and tone, that he who is without sin cast the first stone. Maybe he was overreacting to Mick's situation. He could give him some time and see how it would play out. Danny sat down his glass, and soon as it touched the bar top, Mick grabbed the water bottle and, opening it, refilled the glass so it looked untouched. Got to keep in practice to get those tips, he joked. Hey, on second thought, you know your way around a bar. You can earn the water. All right, what do you want me to do? Danny asked with an exaggerated sigh. It felt good to be bantering with his brother again. You can take this tray and stick it in back. Mick handed Danny the now empty dishwasher tray and pointed to the door. Danny had seen Mick come through earlier. Put it down on the counter in there and then take the steps down. I pulled about half a dozen liquor bottles for restocking earlier, and you can bring them up for me. Danny gave him his patented Santos salute and picked up the tray and headed to the door, leaving the water where it had been standing on the end of the bar near the curtained doorway. Mick moved down the other side of the bar and opened the door for Danny. Once Danny was through, Mick closed the door again and let his gaze wander around the room. It was his club. He'd see to that. Poor little rich girl Drew wouldn't know what hit her. To him, this was more than just some little sideline. It was the cornerstone of his future. Mama, the boss, had made it quite plain that Mick would never have a role in running the Santos organization. He was good enough to do their dirty work, but she didn't think he was smart enough to run things. Well, maybe he'd never be Joe College like his little brother had been. But Mick was plenty street smart, he knew, and the coke snorting had just made him a little sharper, if he didn't take too much. He knew he'd overdone it the night before he went to the docks, or that Uncle Nutso would never have been able to beat him up and take the blackmail tape. He still couldn't believe he'd listened to Ben and not made a backup. He must have been a little too high that day, too. Still, that was incidental. His real future was here at Millennium. He was already dealing coke from behind the bar. Soon he'd move into other drugs. Been debating whether an old standby like heroin or LSD would do better with this crowd, or some of the new designer drugs they'd been coming out with. These stupid, rich, respectable college kids could convince themselves were just a little dangerous, not a real drug. Next step would be prostitution. That's Selena Davis said she was out of the life now, but that never lasted long, did it? And if it took a little physical reminder of men and women's relative places in the pecking order, well, he was just the man for the job. She was already working there, and once he pulled her back in, she could help him recruit some luscious newbies from the college girl customers. A good hooker could always spot another girl who'd be willing to be one. Maybe he'd even get Drew out turning tricks for the top-of-the-line customers. She already dressed the part. Of course, he'd bag her himself first. He had to get her stop moping over this idiot Jesse. He was beginning to think he'd eventually have to take him out. For the moment, though, having a complete idiot for the official manager was playing right into Mick's hands, so he'd leave it alone until the time was right. Then he'd go after that looker, Michelle. Maybe he'd take both of them to bed at once. Blonde and dark, short and tall, feisty and slutty. Yeah, Michelle and Drew sounded like his perfect version of a double-decker sandwich to Mick. He'd build his own Santos empire, and it would all start right here at Millennium. Michelle had actually kept Jesse's attention for three whole dances before Drew had come up and made another excuse to talk to him again. However, it seemed to Michelle that he'd been way too happy to go when she did. Michelle couldn't go on just standing there waiting. She was so thirsty, she needed a drink. Michelle pushed her way through the curtain into the bar area. She stopped short when she saw Mick was the only one on duty. There wasn't another bartender or waitress in sight. She'd avoided Mick like the plague ever since he gave her that creepy line about a perfect face. Mick was at the other end of the bar, looking totally lost in his own little world, and Michelle sure didn't want to be the one to bring him back to this one. Just then, she spotted a glass of water, perfectly poured, waiting at the end of the bar. Michelle figured Mick had gotten it ready for some customer. Oh well, she thought, he can always pour another one, and the least Drew owes me is a bottle of water. Michelle picked up the glass and bottle and nipped back behind the curtain to the dance area. She found a place to sit on the couch, looking out on the dance floor. Drew and Jesse were nowhere in sight. Great. Drew found a way to get Jesse alone in the officer stockroom. Just peachy. Carefully avoiding the lemon wedge, Michelle put her mouth to the water glass and pulled a long drink from it. Her lips had, by chance, touched the very spot where Danny's had been when he drank from the same glass. Suddenly, Michelle felt a tiny thrill run through her, as if she'd somehow received a shock of static electricity. But she hadn't moved or touched anything else when she felt it. Where did that come from? She wondered. Where did that come from? Danny wondered. He'd been taking a step on the wooden stairs, his arms full of bottles. Full of the bottles Mick had wanted when he felt a tiny spark of static electricity. He should have been grounded. He didn't understand at all, carrying the bottles upstairs, and when confronted with the closed door and its full arms, he kicked at the door to let Mick know he'd returned. Mick had still been standing at the door, lost in his dream world where he'd already accomplished everything he wanted to at Millennium, where drugs and prostitutes were at every table. There was gambling in that now big, now empty basement. It was big enough to hold a second club, he thought with a laugh, and Michelle and Drew were fighting to see which one could give him the most pleasure in bed. The look on Mick's face had kept more people than Michelle from disrupting his fantasy. Mick heard the kicking and opened the door for his brother, somewhat sheepishly realizing that he'd been out of it for a while if Danny was back already. He really was starting to use a little too much. He had to remember to cut back a little bit. His customers were glad to see someone else behind the bar, and Danny was pressed into service, helping Mick catch up on the drink orders he'd missed while he was daydreaming. Finally, there were no more orders, and Danny went to retrieve his water, but it was gone. Danny shrugged. He faced the curtain that blocked his view to the dance floor. Michelle drained the water glass, refilled it from the bottle, and drained it again. She left the empty glass and the bottle on the coffee table. This was it. She'd had it. Michelle stood up and strode towards the curtain, but blocked her view to the bar area. Danny started to reach for the curtain. The music was great, and he was a good dancer. And then he hesitated. He didn't want Mick to think he was checking up on him before he actually was having to. Maybe it would be just as well to wait for another time. Mick seemed okay, but something told him this wouldn't be his only visit to Millennium. As he turned away, a stray thought popped into his head that whatever started the static a charge he had felt before was right behind that curtain, and that he should look for it. What a strange thought. He shook the thought out of his head and turned away, but still, when he caught a movement at a curtain out of the corner of his eye, he turned back to face it. Michelle had actually fallen on the curtain and started to move it when she felt a hand on her arm. Gee, Michelle, I'm sorry I took so long with Drew, but I promise the rest of the evening will be all about you. Michelle was only partially mollified by Jesse's little speech, but she dropped the curtain and allowed Jesse to lead her back towards the dance floor. She looked back over her shoulder. somewhere in a corner of her mind, a tiny voice was saying she should have gone through that curtain, that something important was just on the other side. Michelle shook the thought away. The motion of the curtain stopped. Danny turned back towards the door, and giving Mick another Santos salute, he headed towards the door. It was still early enough that if he'd hurried, he could probably still phone Ray before lights out at the seminary, and he wanted someone to talk about what to do about Mick. Should he do something to intervene or give it some more time? He just didn't know, and even if the curtain never opened that night, two lives were linked forever after, for ill or for good, with a sip from a water glass. And that is the end of my Manny prequel. Next, of course, would be the beginning of Manny. And I am going to actually skip ahead to 2014 with the next story. It takes place at the Bauer Barbecue, and I don't know when I'll get that done, but I hope you enjoy it and that you won't be bothered with too many extra notices of recording. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the story. And if you want the written version, find it and all sorts of different information about Manny at glmanny.wordpress.com. See you around the site.